All right, Mike, I think this episode's gonna need a little bit of structure to prevent it from divulging into just complete and utter chaos of small dick and sex jokes. I'm willing to come to a compromise because I really want to talk about how bad this movie is. So in an effort to maintain the sanctity of this podcast, either we should each be allowed one dick slash joke for this entire episode at the other person's expense, or we just get it all out of our system right now so we can just focus the rest of this podcast fully on this shitty movie. Mike, what do you say?
I want the one sneak attack dick joke. I need to sneak one in. This movie has primed me like no other movie has. I'm ready to swing for the fences with mine.
Okay, because you get one, and like that's it.
I get one. Yeah, you do too. All right, this is going to be a war.
Listen, there's a lot of pressure here because like this one, it's got to be fucking hilarious.
Exactly, and. Listeners, I need you to share which one of us had the better joke. Share it with your friends and humiliate the other. Bully them online.
All right, guys, welcome to the show that's now transformed to Climaxes at Midnight. It's the Messed Up at Midnight podcast. I am your host, Max Steele, and as always, I am joined by Michael Flaherty. Yes, that was the whole intro. And today, we are talking about the 1993 sexy thriller film, Body of Evidence. It's about lawyer Willem Dafoe, who has to defend his client Madonna from an alleged murder, and there is some sexiness thrown in there. Mike, what did you think of the movie?
It is so bad, dude. It's so bad. It's like the sex. It has the sexiness of like two accountants trying to talk dirty to each other. and then it's just, and instead of like, you know, panning away and being like, all right, that's the end of it. It's just the awkward middle part after having sex where you go, so what do you do for work? Do you want me to call you a cab or something? Like it's the whole part of it. It's very bad.
Watching this movie feels like the unextended, like, aftermath of a one night stand.
Exactly. It's the one night stand, but instead of them like taking the hint and leaving, they just stick around.
Now, I do have some I was able to find some positives with this movie, but I want you to remember this. They are like a little bit of like leftover rain in the middle of a massive fucking desert of shit. And the big things that you need to have in an enjoyable movie are a good script and solid acting. Those things absolutely suck. Even some of the technical aspects of Body of Evidence sucks. It really, really sucks. But it erotically sucks. Mike, what do you think?
It sucks and sucks until you ask it to stop, and then it says no and keeps sucking. That's how hard it sucks.
Do you know how upset I am about the fact that you said we each get one joke? Because there are just plenty of opportunities with like what each of us are saying where we can just type like jump in and just be like, haha, where at least with if you did the other option, we would be able to just like get it all out of our system and yeah. Anyways, so the main getting back.
I'm here. I'm just gonna spend. No, I'm gonna spend this whole podcast baiting you into using your one. I swear to God.
Well, the main selling point of this movie is the fact that Madonna is here, but it's 90s Madonna, not like, you know, modern day 2020s plastic surgery Madonna. I really want to talk
about alien ET Madonna.
Not Madonna that looks like that doll Megan from the movie Megan.
No, fuck. You see Madonna doing the worm in the middle of the street or whatever the fuck Megan does.
So I really want to talk about how bad Madonna is in this movie, and we'll get to her. But Mike, if you could describe Madonna's acting in a few words, what would that be?
It's like a blow up doll with a stick in its ass.
For me, Madonna seems like she is out of this world high and reading off a teleprompter.
Oh, dude, she's like Wolf fucking Blitzer in half of her scenes. It's so stupid. I literally have seen numerous scenes where it's her, you can see her eyes move from left to right. She didn't fucking, there's no way she memorized that shit.
Yeah, but this movie is also sexy. It's an erotic thriller. It's really the first time we've covered one of these on the show, and it feels really weird that we're covering one of these movies, but you know, we're gonna power through this one. And the behind the scenes of these sex scenes are very interesting. For instance, Madonna personally selected Willem Dafoe as her co-star, which this movie is hilarious when you remember that Willem Dafoe has a giant dick.
Dude, she heard Lars von Trier talk about how massive his fucking wiener was. And so she went, I want that guy. I want him in particular. I want the dude with the fucking sequoia.
And neither of them had any body doubles either. And
like, so, of course so they didn't. It's Willem Dafoe.
Dude, he's fucking going for it, man.
Dude, you would need a porn star to be a double for Willem Dafoe.
And even then it might still look a little small.
Exactly.
And that Madonna, Willem Dafoe, and director, I'm gonna butcher this, Uli Edel spent 2 weeks rehearsing the sex scenes before filming began. And I just want to know, like, how, as a director directing two actors to have, like, how does that look? Does he just, like, does Uli just sit in, like, the cuck chair of a hotel room directing Willem Dafoe and Madonna? Like, how does this, how technical are we getting with this?
I love the idea that it's just, they're in a Marriott in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's just Willem Dafoe fucking pounding Madonna. You just see the director go, the thrusts have to be a little more central, Willem. And he's like, huh? Oh, all right, sure, whatever.
But despite this movie's star power and sexiness, how did it do at the box office, Mike? Let's go over to the box office bonanza and let's figure that out. So, Mike. The budget for this movie was $30 million.
It's too much.
It is too damn much. How much did it make at the box office?
10. I swear to fucking God, if it made over 10, I'm stunned.
Higher, actually.
Okay. All right. 20.
Higher.
Did it make $36 million? Did it make its money?
You actually are so close. I'm going to give it to you right now. It made $38 million. Now, all right, right?
Hell yeah. $2 million off, baby. You were so close.
You were very close. I'm proud of you, man. We're getting there.
I almost arrived there.
So many opportunities. Now, although it made more than its budget, though not by much, in its second week in theaters, it experienced a 60% drop and only ended up making $13 million in the U.S. And internationally, it made $25 million.
Oh, damn. The drop-off of a lifetime.
Now, you're going to expect a little bit of a drop-off, but nothing like that. Like, that's wow.
Yeah. That's glitter territory. Like, didn't Glitter have like a 90% drop off rate or something heinous? Dude,
something like that. I mean, it was probably bad press because that movie caused 9/11, but you know, what do I know?
Still my favorite like photo on Wikipedia is the photo, the promo photo for Glitter, and it's the Glitter ad beneath the Twin Towers.
Now, lastly, before we get on to the drinks, let's look over our Razzie nominations, because of course you know this movie had to get nominated. Body of Evidence was nominated for Worst Picture, Worst Director, Worst Actor for Willem Dafoe, Worst Supporting Actress for Ann Archer, Worst Screenplay for Brad Mehrman, and won Worst Actress for Madonna, which is absolutely no surprise.
Yeah, none of that is surprising. None of that is surprising. Madonna's acting was miserable. Like, oh my God, it's so bad. I thought Mariah Carey and J-Lo set the bar astronomically low. But here comes Madonna coming in to give Mariah Carey a run for her fucking money.
You know, a lesson that I didn't think we would learn on this podcast is that pop stars, they just don't make good actors.
They don't. Which makes, like, the ones that actually do, to like, get a career in acting that much better. Like, it's so surprising that Ice Cube and, like, Ice-T can, like, be in TV and movies. Mm-hmm. Because, like, Jesus Christ, there's so few pop stars that can actually do it.
Well, Mike, man, let's get to the ever most important question we have here on the Messed Up at Midnight podcast. If Body of Evidence was a drink, what would it be and why?
All right, everybody, get ready for a nice, hot, steamy cocktail. I took inspiration of my hot, steamy cocktail from the Naked Lady cocktail. A Naked Lady has white rum, sweet vermouth, apricot brandy, and lemon juice. Sounds delightful. It's not this movie. That sounds too developed and interesting. What is this movie at its core? Is it a wine? Possibly, but that's hard to make cocktails with. Is it a whiskey? No, it doesn't feel too noir-y enough for it to be a whiskey. It doesn't have that deep sort of broodingness. I'm going to go with a gin. Hmm. But like a dollar store gin. I'm talking plastic jug sale aisle gin. Because it makes honest attempts at having this deep air of intrigue and mystery, what with like the saxophone and the low and like the nights of them driving across a bridge or some shit. Next, that
makes me want to drive off a bridge. Sorry, continue.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the key there. Now, getting into the details. We have Willem Dafoe and Madonna. They have about as much chemistry as oil and water. They don't mix. Their on-screen performances together are cringy at best and outright offensive at worst. Sweet vermouth doesn't fit the bill. I'm going with a dry vermouth because everything about their interactions are dry as a fucking bone. Next, we are going to get into the sex scenes, you know? Apricot brandy feels too deep. It's sweet, but also bitter. It has alcoholic. No. We're going with cheap-ass brandy. The ones your grandpa says, like, that's how they had it back in the day. The stuff that makes you cough and go, God, did they ash their cigarette in this? That kind of brandy. Next, we have the story. It's bland. It's bitter. It's uninteresting. Are there ups and downs? Not particularly.
There are ups and downs with Madonna,
it
though.
Sure is something, though. Absolutely. Repeated, dare I say. So let's get some grapefruit juice in this, you know? Now, second to last, we have the courtroom scenes. They're so boring.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, they're boring. Oh my God, they're like, I want to scoop my eyes out with a spoon boring. Water. Just put in some water. Finally, this is the thing that I thought was always the weirdest. Because of the fact that the movie randomly introduces characters that are integral to the plot in the middle of the court, and all they do is drop seemingly important plot devices and then are never seen again. Oh, why don't you just put four mints in the cocktail? Why are they there? Who knows? Do they add to anything? Not particularly. Are you expecting them? Fucking no. And that's my cocktail.
You know, I think the most atrocious thing about that is actually the mints and the fruit. What was it? Grapefruit juice?
Yeah, grapefruit juice.
Okay. Like, okay. Because when you first started, I was like, maybe something there. And then you just kept going. I was like, oh no. And you know, I did not go with gin. Spoiler alert for my cocktail. I actually went with a vodka, but you might have pulled me around to gin. I just thought this movie didn't have it attempted to have that depth, but like it didn't have that depth. So that's kind of why I went with a vodka.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So
fair enough. Fair enough.
No. I will try. That what was it. The naked lady, is that the one? Is that
yeah, the one? Yeah. That's the actual cocktail. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So. It's a poorly acted, sexy courtroom thriller with a bad script. With my base, I'm going to say vodka because it doesn't have the same depth that like I think gin does. It's not fun like rum or tequila. And again, no noir elements like Mike said with the whiskey. It takes itself very seriously, but it's so, so shit. So I'm going to say 2 ounces of shitty vodka. But let's make it flavored. Let's make it peach vodka because, you know, there's a lot of butt in this movie. Next. Let's look at Madonna. She's supposed to be this like sexual enigma in this movie, but she just kind of comes off as, what's the word I'm looking for? Bored, and has that face of like, I know more than you do about everything. And she just has that on her face constantly. And for this, I'm going to say, let's add in 1.5 ounces of Kinky Pink liqueur. But because Madonna looks like she'd rather be literally anywhere but there, let's add in 1.5 ounces of Twisted Tea. Why? Because watching Madonna perform in this movie is like getting punched in the face. Next, Willem Dafoe. I like Willem Dafoe. I'll say, squeeze in the juice of one orange. The courtroom stuff. It sucked. I wasn't intrigued by any of it. It's not even like visually interesting. There's absolutely zero tension. So with how brown everything is in these courtroom scenes, I'm going to say add in 3 ounces of day-old lukewarm hot chocolate. Now for the intangibles, I'll say add in a squeeze of honey and a couple of dashes of bitters just to, you know, confuse your palate some. But this movie's sexy. There's a ton of sex in this movie. So to round everything out, top it off with some whipped cream and add 2 cherries at the tops because boobs, why not? And yeah, that's this movie.
I don't even, what the hell is Kinky Pink liqueur? How'd you pull that one out, bud?
Listen, man, I did my research.
See, you got kinky and pink. No, hell yeah. The peach vodka. Peach for the butt, I do dig. That's funny. But vodka, see, I understand the vodka point of view. I do understand that. Also, the whipped cream and the cherries are a nice touch. The hot chocolate, I will push back on. I feel like that's developed. I feel like that's too developed. I do agree that there's a weird amount of beige.
It is day old, lukewarm. Like you made some hot chocolate and then you just kind of left it out for a day.
Countertop day old. Ooh, that you didn't even have the decorum to put that in the fridge. Ooh, I dig it. I do dig it. It's a good one.
All right, All right, guys. So go crack open your drink of choice and let's talk about Body of Evidence. So now we're going to be going through talking about the positives, negatives, and give our overall thoughts and then get right into spoiler territory. Mike, do you have any positives? Because I have like some.
I have like 3. I have literally 3. Okay, 1. Willem Dafoe. Yay! Moving on. That's it. That's all I got.
And again, the novelty of Willem Dafoe, who is known for having a gigantic penis being in this movie. It's funny.
It's great. I do. It is so apt that the erotic thriller stars the dude who's known for having one of the biggest dicks in Hollywood. It's so apt. I guess another positive is Julianne Moore is in this, which is, you know, cool. Shouts out Julianne Moore. Great in Big Lebowski. And like, I think like Hunger Games as well. The character kind of just gets cucked and then that's it. Like, there's no real resolution with their character. It's kind of just like, oh no, you're, spoiler alert, he bangs Madonna. It's, I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but yeah, she kind of just gets cucked and she's like, all right, well, I guess I hear San Diego's nice this time of year.
And she just fucking leaves.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the other one, I'm starting to retract it, but I did list it as a positive initially, so you know what? I'll stick to my guns. The set pieces are, like, solidly well done, you know? They're not, like, I don't think they're, like, particularly standout, majestic, well-created, like, thought pieces of sets, but, you know, they're there, and they don't look ass crazy. Like, yeah, like
I put it down as some of the visuals were okay. Like, there was some interesting visuals, like with rain and candles and the usage of shadows. And, you know, with the budget they had, they should at least have something to back it up.
Yeah.
I can maybe, like, think of, like, 10. Actually, you know what? No, I fucking take that back. The visuals in this movie aren't good. Just thinking about it, some I'm like, no, like everything was so foggy. There were sun rays in like every window. That's not how light works. Everything felt flat and soft. There isn't any color in this movie, considering, you know, most of it takes place in the courtroom, even though in the visuals of My Cousin Vinny, they were at least somewhat interesting. Like, I don't know, Joe Pesci's suits and Marissa Tomei's vibes.
So that is true.
I take that back. I take that back. The visuals in this movie, there was some good stuff in here, but largely, no.
Yeah. Exact. You know what? This is the first time we've had the entire roller coaster of opinions on the podcast. It goes from, you know, the sets are nice, to being like, yeah, you know what? The visuals are all right. Actually, you know what? Fuck the visuals. Actually, they're one of my least favorite parts of this movie. I do dig that. All right. I got nothing to add on that.
Dude, I have one more positive.
Okay.
I guess the concept of this movie is a bit interesting, with like the lawyer falling in love with a client. We got like a sexual thing going on. Now, keep in mind, I'm only talking about the concept, not the execution. If you present this idea to me on paper, I would be intrigued. But then the humor lies in the details where, I don't know. For instance, our prosecutor gives his opening statement to the jury about Madonna and how she is a deadly weapon that she seduced Andrew Marsh, leaving her $8 million and then fucked him to death and doped him with cocaine. That's the inciting action of the movie.
It is very funny that much of the like early part of the courtroom dramas, courtroom scenes in this movie is based around the fact that Madonna's got a killer vagina, and they're like, "Ooh, she likes him old." And you're like, "All right."
And then there are just little moments throughout the script, like an introduction of nasal spray and Willem Dafoe randomly picking up a cat in a scene that's just there, and then we never come back to like Willem Dafoe picking up a cat. Like, I'm like, why did he do that? We just don't come back to that. I know it's very nitpicky, but I was very confused. I was like, okay, why'd he pick up a cat? Shouldn't there be like a payoff or something?
Yeah, exactly. I need that cat to show up in the courtroom scene. That cat was actually carrying the nasal spray coke to Madonna. No.
Did you know that cat was there when JFK got shot?
You just see the cat next to Lee Harvey Oswald. He's like sweating and the cat's paw just pulls the hand that's on the trigger.
Okay, so that's one positive I can take away. I enjoyed that, Mike. I enjoyed that little bit of back and forth we had. That's something enjoyable about this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Is the talking about a cat shooting JFK? But I'm trying to think of the last positive that I have is for this general concept, setting it in the Pacific Northwest. That feels apt. That feels like an apt setting. I think like Sleepless in Seattle is like, isn't that like also like an erotic thriller or something like that? Or is it a comedy? I don't know. I could have sworn Sleepless in Seattle also is like a similar vibe, and I don't know, that's good. So I'm like, you know. Portland's a weird one, but maybe Portland's got that vibe. Pig
also take place in Portland? Or was it like that was also like a Pacific Northwest thing with Nick Cage?
No, Yeah, that took place in Seattle. Yeah.
Close enough.
Or Yeah, it did play.
It doesn't matter.
Actually, I don't know where
it's somewhere in the northwest of America. Now getting to the negatives of body of evidence. Let's get to the acting, Mike. Holy shit. Like
holy shit.
Madonna's acting is just like, will you represent me? There will be charges. You know that. Do you think I killed him? Just like that same tone and speed and inflection. It's just like here's an explanation for it.
Okay. Use your words.
I'm trying to be like Madonna because I don't know if you knew this, Mike, but Madonna's acting coach quit just before production began, claiming that she thinks she knows everything. What do you think about that? And what do you think about Madonna's acting?
That's always it's abysmal. Abysmal. She does not know everything. She knows very little, actually. She knows very little about acting, because it seems that her choice of like facial expression, she took the John Travolta route, where it's, I'm gonna make a single face and that's gonna be the face, because all she does is look at people as if it's like she's attempting to do the face that runway models do, where it's like they suck in their cheeks and look very like stoic and with like their eyes half closed. She just does that for the entire movie, and it's so stupid, because she's supposed to, because there are moments where it's like Willem Dafoe's like crying and like screaming and he's angry, and she's just like he tries, but the dichotomy of him trying and like crying and being like, how could you, and she's just looking at him with her cheeks sucked in and her eyes half closed as if she's posing for a photo shoot, and she's like, fuck you. And like, you can see that they added teardrops into the side. I'm like, oh, come on. Well,
dude, here's the thing. Madonna in this movie is supposed to be like she's got zero like sexual aura. Like, this movie's trying to frame her as like a sexual being. And it could have fooled me, because it looks like she's listening to her dentist talk about like her upcoming root canal where they ran out of morphine.
Yeah, she's working her ass off to like replicate those 50s femme fatales. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of like a specific one, but I'm thinking like a Double Indemnity, like, I don't know, I think like LA Confidential, Sunset Boulevard, you know, that sort of thing, where it's like,
yeah,
that sort of
some
like,
of those female driven westerns.
Exactly. But she misses the mark so spectacularly. So all she has is that fucking dumb stank face. Like, and her dialogue's no fucking better. It's so clunky and weird, because not she has the shitty stank face. Her air, aura, and mannerisms are totally just jarred and weird. And then like her dialogue is like I'm too hot to handle for some people. Are you ready to take it, Willem Dafoe? But she says it like she doesn't believe it either. She says like, she's like, all right, Madonna, come on. Are you ready to handle it? That sort of thing.
Like, she's just feeling a little bit of self-doubt that day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, exactly.
I don't know if I can do this. You know, it's just really know. Hard.
I think he may be able to handle it.
And dude, on top of that, her chemistry with Willem Dafoe,
the vibes are weird.
While it might have been enjoyable for the two of them, you know, behind the scenes, it did not translate to the screen. This, they have no chemistry. Like, Willem Dafoe, he can act. We said it before. He's actually a good actor, and he tries in this movie. I kind of think the Razzie nomination for him in this movie might be a little bit harsh, because he does fine. Yeah. But Madonna,
it's a little mean.
Madonna can't act for shit, and it's so apparent in this movie. And when you already have a bad script and give it to Madonna to be like, hey, here you go, make this work, it's just not gonna happen.
No, it's literally destined to fail. It's destined to fucking fail. With at least with Madonna at the fucking wheel. Like, what's crazy to me is, like, I am so wowed that they chose Madonna to be the femme fatale in this thing. It's so shocking to me, because you had, like, Julianne Moore was right there. And I'm not saying, like, Julianne Moore and Madonna are the same fucking person, but she kind of had a sort of demure, femme fatale sort of I'm rich, get out of here, I don't care vibe in The Big Lebowski, which came out like the year before, right? Or was that
same 95? I honestly don't remember, same decade, close enough.
It's the same era. Yeah. Same era. Yeah. She already had that, like, that she already had knew she had it in her to do that. So why did they bring this random star with no fucking idea how to act to just play, like, the equivalent of, like I said in my intro, a blow-up doll with a stick in its ass? Like,
yeah, and then Ann Archer as Joanne just speaks so as, like, matter of fact. Like, for instance, like, when she walks in and she's like, it was Rebecca Carson, his girlfriend. She killed him. And, like, that's the type of script that we got. And when you give that to the actors, there's just not much they can do with it. Like, I don't know.
That is true, yeah.
Speaking of,
I don't want to fault Ann Archer too hard. I actually don't want to fault Ann Archer too hard, because I've seen Ann Archer actually act in other stuff, and she's not a bad actress. I will actually blame a lot of that on the writer, because how the fuck, because she's supposed to be like a lady who's secretly in love with her boss. So she's supposed to do, like, the, I don't care, do what you want with her. She's a hussy and a harlot. But, like, the way they wrote it is so miserable that she's kind of like, no, I do not like him. I do not like her. I do not care. Humph. Don't talk to me. And, like, how the fuck are we supposed to believe
that? And all of the dialogue in this movie sounds just so robotic. Like, people, I don't know anybody that talks the way that these people do. It, as a matter of fact, I am working on cleaning up a screenplay. And, like I said, what have I learned in our What Have I Learned episode? I learned a lot watching this movie. I learned a lot about screenwriting. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just so to what not to do.
It's this is I think the movie that really opened my eyes to how you can fuck up a script. Like, because we've watched so many movies on this podcast, and so many of them have had awful dialogue, but it also feels like the dialogue has either been overshadowed or played a part in enhancing the crappiness of another quality within the movies. Like, Glitter had shitty dialogue. But the story was so outlandishly awful, and Mariah Carey's acting was one for the record books with how bad it was, that, like, it totally took a back seat. So this movie really, really did me a favor in the sense where I'm like, damn, so that's how you don't write that scene.
And just apart from, like, you know, away from the dialogue, at least with, like, the, how can I put this, like, themes and ideas that are, like, brought, like, interesting plot points that are brought up. Things are introduced and then dropped for absolutely no reason. And it felt just so sloppily put together. Like, initially, I was fine with Willem Dafoe's character because, I mean, you know, it's fucking Willem Dafoe. But then it just got dumb with him cheating on his wife, and he doesn't even have any, like, internal – the script doesn't even give him, like, any internal conflict. It's just, yep, having sex with Madonna now.
Yeah. It's
that's it. And then when he gets to fight with his wife, it's like just, oh yeah, that thing.
Dude, yeah, no, that's the crazy thing. Willem Dafoe's character makes the stupidest, strangest decisions in the entire thing. Like, his relationship with his wife is, in the beginning, rock solid. Like, it's great. Mm-hmm. He's like, hi, honey. And she's like, hello, husband, whom I love. And he's like, hello, son, whom I also care for. Isn't our life great? And she's like, yeah, it is. And then it's just the same with all of the scenes. And then suddenly he goes, yeah, I'm going to cheat. Like, there's, like, how do you get from point A to point Z? There's got to be a middle ground there. He went from crawling to sprinting in the Olympics.
And yeah, even like, The middle to end portion of this movie, it's just a bunch of trial scenes. And those trial scenes, like I said, they're not interesting. At the halfway point, the movie's like, nah, fuck it. Sex scene, trial scene, just back and forth. And very rarely, without the rest of this script, do we have any points of development. It's just, yeah, here we are.
Yeah, it's, I have to say, that middle part really does a freaking number to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll tell you that. Just having to sit there and watch the boring part, essentially the boring part of Law and Order, and then just have it, like, hard cut to, like, a Euphoria scene, essentially, where someone's just freaking smacking cheeks,
dude.
And then just, yeah, exactly. And then just turn, and it turns back and goes, you lied on your W-4, Section 12C. Can you go into elaborate? Like, it's that hard of a cut. Like, every single cut between one and the other is that stark. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no after scene where it's, oh my goodness, and Dafoe turns and goes, you know, they're going to ask you about your W-4 today. Like, there's nothing
there's,
in between.
There's not, like,
it's
there's
just,
not that, there's not that was connection. Good.
All right, yeah. Now back to the...
There's just, yeah.
Yeah, there's not that... There's... It's just from just Willem Dafoe's giant ass and huge dick just slamming to just being to just him getting on the freaking trial stand or whatever.
Yeah, and none of the witnesses are interesting. The judge is just roasting these two lawyers, and the story here, it's just it's not good. I don't know what else I can say. It's just the movie's not good. It's miserable.
Yeah. The courtroom scenes where they just argue back and forth about something that you don't have context about. See, the worst part about the courtroom scenes is that they bring in new things, which I feel like if you're going to do a court scene, it's got to be based off of pre-existing things. Like, I feel like the best way to confuse the entire audience is to bring in a new thing in a court scene. Like, unless it's a giant bombshell that dismantles something you previously thought. Like, the fact that they sit there and they go, here's this new evidence piece that I found, and it completely incriminates her. And then Willem Dafoe turns around and goes, well, I have the perfect explanation for this thing that you're bringing to the stand. And also a new character witness who we don't know about.
It's like,
they just
a puzzle is supposed to all be connected. But with what they do here, it's like taking different pieces of a puzzle and just putting them together, like interesting pieces like nasal spray over here or Madonna's boyfriend, another boyfriend or a third boyfriend. And so it's just, it's a whole lot of just, hey, here is this thing. Ain't it cool? Mike, was there anything else with the story or the script that you had a big issue with?
I'm trying to think. I mean, all the characters are written so blandly. I think, are we going to do a whole separate like little shtick on the sex scenes, or is that for the screenplay,
dude? Let's
because I'll dive in.
Let's dive in head first. Let's get sexy.
Let's get sexy. All right. The sex scenes in this movie are so awful. This is, I gotta say, in this podcast, there is a frequent thing that I feel like the both of us really hammer home, which is don't put in a sex scene. There's no fucking reason. This movie is an erotic thriller. This is the movie where sex scenes fit. How? I want to ask Mr. Uli Beth or whatever the fuck his name is, how he managed to make sex scenes boring, cringy, flat out bad.
Flaccid. Like
bad, not good, bad. Flaccid. It's just, it's bad. Like, the sex scenes are, they're uninteresting. Mm-hmm. The chemistry is terrible. The vibes are super weird between Dafoe and Madonna. And it's just, and the thing is, like, they paint Madonna as this mega super freak. Like, she is like, they're like, she is an unhinged freaking animal who cannot be contained. And the sex scenes are the most vanilla shit I've ever seen. They're like, the most hardcore they get is she pours candle wax on him. And everyone's like, oh my God, the harlot. Like, shit, all right, damn. This is, wow, Portland's real conservative.
And you know something funny? It's actually that Michael Flaherty was inspired by this movie to use candle wax once in his personal life. And after the flames subsided, he's now banned from entering the public's produce section ever again.
It was a one-on-one between me and the spaghetti.
The sweet potato.
I got that barilla. The barilla angel hair had my name on it.
The fucking sweet potato ain't got shit on me, dog.
Those yams are making me act unwise. That's your fucking one. That's your fucking one.
What'd you think of that one?
That was good. That was good. I gotta tell you, did not expect that.
I told myself I wasn't gonna do. No, that's my one. I'm not gonna make any more, or else we would. This podcast would divulge into insanity. Yes. We got to talk about just the complete. We just got to talk about the complete lack of sexiness between Willem Dafoe and Madonna.
Exactly. Exactly. Take it away, Max.
So yeah, there's just like no chemistry, and it's pretty much like they have a sex scene where there's hot wax. Then they have sex in a parking lot where Willem Dafoe has the opportunity to Batista bomb Madonna on the hood of a car, and that opportunity wasn't taken. Dude, I'm so mad about that.
Imagine this movie where it's Willem Dafoe munching rug, and then he just Batista bombs her in the middle of it.
I would be like, best movie ever made. Best movie ever.
Fuck yeah, Willem. Now that's some freak shit.
But yeah, it's so just muddled, boring. I'm like, literally, like, because I watched it earlier this week, and then before this podcast, I started watching it, and then we got to the sex scenes. I was like, okay, we're skipping that. No, nothing of note there. And play. Nope. Next courtroom scene. Nothing of note there. Okay. And you, what I'm trying to say is you can just kind of skip through this entire movie. It doesn't fucking matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Was there anything else you wanted to say about the sex scenes?
No, I think that's, I think I've said my piece on it. They're bad.
And the last little thing I'll say before we get into our overall thoughts is even the music of this movie, I wasn't a fan of. Like, never in my life have I heard an unsexy saxophone. Until watching this movie. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. It's, you know, everyone likes to think it's when it's a movie and it's a sex scene, it's like usually the saxophone comes in. It's very wispy and all that. And you're like, oh, all right. did this dude's reed break or something? Like, what the fuck happened? Because it is some odd freaking choices. Granted, it's not like, what's it? A Night to Dismember bad where it's like game show music as someone's getting killed, but it's pretty close.
Somebody just standing there over in the corner just with a tambourine, just shaking it.
Cuck tambourine.
So my getting into the overall thoughts that I have on this movie, it's not good. It's not steamy. It's not sexy. I feel nothing watching this movie. It's just a fucking slog to get through. We got bad writing, bad acting.
Oh, ooh, Max's sex tape. Max's sex tape review. Slog to get through.
Very good. I like very good.
Boom.
I like that one. Okay. I see you, Mike.
I saw the timer and I was like, oh shit, we're running out of time. Fuck.
And watch, like, I get to the very end of this podcast, like, the final thing you say is, you have a small wiener.
Exactly. See, you have trouble getting it up. We all, dang it. And it just cuts off halfway.
So, yeah, a bad movie. I'd say skip this one for your drunk movie marathon. But if you had to, make it a movie 3. What do you think, Mike?
There are so many other options for erotic thrillers, dog. Why would you? Why just waste your time on this movie? If I had to put this into a movie, I would say it's a movie 3 unless you do the Messed Up at Midnight romantic marathon-a-thon where you have glitter at number 1, this movie at number 2, and Geely at number 3, baby.
Fuck it, sure. What we're trying to say, guys, is maybe for your next drunk movie marathon with all your bros, pick a different erotic thriller.
Hey, gang. I know we were really down to watch Body of Evidence, but bros, hear me out. We could probably watch, I don't know, Blue Velvet? Isn't that an erotic thriller?
Sure. So guys, if you want to go see this movie, first of all, why? Second of all, go check it out, then come back, and we're going to be getting into spoiler territory. Like the fact that, what a twist, Madonna was the one who killed Marsh. It sucks as a reveal.
It does, because I feel like the movie works too hard in the courtroom scenes to push the idea that she actually is guilty, and a lot of the shit's lining up if you really fucking think about it. And it's like, and I know the movie's trying to sit there and be like, oh my god, there's a lot lining up, but you're supposed to like her, she is innocent, and like, she's being framed. But the entire time I was watching it, I was kind of like, oh no, she 100% did that shit. like I'm looking at her character and like the, I'm like, yeah, ain't no damn way. Like, what are we? Who are we kidding? Like, for real? And then, yeah, I also have to say the fact that they decided that after this they needed to have a shooting fight scene was dumb as hell. I'm like, it would have been better if she walked out of the room as like Willem Dafoe was like, what have I done? And then it ended. I would have been like, then I would have been like, whoa, what a cliffhanger, blah blah blah. But damn, just the idea that they're like, we need a gun fight to happen.
Yeah, like Madonna's character does a complete 180 and does not feel natural at all. Mm-hmm. And the fact that violence or any type of escalation of this nature gets presented at the very end of the movie without even getting teased at all makes it come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And Madonna doesn't have the charisma to pull off a reveal like this. Imagine that for a second. Imagine us saying that Madonna, one of the most prominent pop stars of all time, doesn't have charisma. Just think about that.
Yeah, that's wild. That it's wild that like she is this bad. Like, I mean, Madonna, like all of like a bunch of her early music, like Virgin and the fucking, oh my god, I'm blanking on the other one that she did. But Madonna definitely did like push the envelope with like being like a sex symbol and all that. And the fact that this movie sounds like the biggest tee up for Madonna, because it's like, oh, she's a sex symbol. The movie's about us, a woman who's like very attractive and all that. The fact that she fumbled the bag this hard, looked this stiff the entire movie, and made the reveal that bad is just awful. Just so awful.
I mean, her performance is so bad. Like, you see it with a lot of movies. Like, if you look at an actor's eyes, you can kind of tell what they're feeling. If you give me a close-up of her, of Madonna's eyes in this movie, I wouldn't be able to tell if it was from a sex scene, a courtroom scene, a funeral, or if she's waiting for the bus. Like, she is just did so bad in this movie. And again, her reveal makes zero sense. Also, why Paley, the other doctor that, you know, did it, he loves Madonna and did all this for her and ends up shooting and killing her. It makes no sense.
Yeah, bringing Paley into this, why the hell was Paley involved? There was nothing involving Paley at all. His first appearance was in the damn court. Like, what? How do you bring in someone in the middle of a court scene and then go, BT dubs, everybody, this guy's gonna fucking kill Madonna? Like, how do you fuck that up?
Dude, I don't know what I was expecting with this movie, because we just decided, like, last week, like, hey, we need to find a movie, our first movie to cover, and we're like, we haven't done a thriller in a while. Sure, let's do a thriller, Body of Evidence. This just goes to show that when you have a bad thriller or a bad drama, it really, really sucks. Like, I think back to, like, some of our worst movies. They kind of fall into this category. The most notable bad movies we've covered kind of fall into this category.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So many of these, like, especially bad movies fall into that, like, thrillery category where it's just, if you are not thrilled, then it is not a thriller. Nor is it erotic, so it's not an erotic thriller. It's just is. You're just watching a lot of Willem Dafoe's ass.
That's how I want to spend a Sunday night. Just watching Willem Dafoe's ass.
Just big ol' ass.
Well, White Man, was there anything else you wanted to touch on with this movie before we get out of here? Any final thoughts?
None. It's bad. Avoid it. Madonna needs to stick to music. Actually, she needs to retire from everything. Yeah. She just needs to retire. God damn, what has happened?
Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this sexual episode of the Messed Up at Midnight podcast. I hate the fact that I just said that. Go follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. You guys know the deal. Stay up to date with what we got going on. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Mike, you got any final words?
Share all the hot and sexual details of this podcast with all of your friends. Make sure they all watch the movie and get all hot and bothered. And listen to this in the car ride home and feel all hot and heavy.
All right, guys, we'll see y'all next week.
See you next week, everybody.